Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the conference call for the results for the first quarter of 2021 from SEAT Automotive. Today we have Sobanie Herrera, CEO, and Lorea Aristizabal, Director for Corporate Development. At the end of the presentation, there will be a Q&A. I'd like to remind you that questions can only be asked in writing through the tool available on the webcast. And now I hand over to Lorea. Go ahead, please. Hello, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the earnings conference call for the first quarter at Thier Automotive. If the fourth quarter was already an important step in the recovery of the sector, with the level of production slightly higher than the pre-COVID levels, this first quarter of 21 has been a great beginning to the year, continuing on the growth path and showing a major rebound compared to the same period last year. Now we're going to review the quarter by geographies that have had a very different evolution during the period, largely due to their different comparison base for the first quarter in 2020, established in each region by the time of arrival of the pandemic. We start with Europe, a market that has been practically flat this first quarter compared to Q1 in 2020, with approximately 4.5 million vehicles produced. This quarter in Europe has been a favourable surprise, since positive factors such as the healthy inventory level or the extension of incentives in important markets have faced up to other negative factors such as the lockdowns, the supply of semiconductors or the new emissions regulation, which ultimately have had a limited impact. Meanwhile, the organic growth of European CIE sales in the first quarter has been almost 3%, beating the market by more than 3 points. Once again, the news is in the margins that both in the Europe division and in the MCA Europe division have improved compared to the same quarter last year. A Europe that has improved by 120 basis points, reaching 18% EBITDA margin, helped both by the improvement in the margins of the traditional CIE plants as well as the European CIE gold plants, which continue to increase their profitability, and an MCIE Europe which has improved its margins by 350 basis points to almost a double-digit EBIT margin, leavened by the return of volume and the results of the restructuring carried out in 2020. The other mature market, North America, has had a negative evolution of 4.5% in the quarter to approximately 3.5 million vehicles produced, with a performance that is very different by regions. On the one hand, we have a flat United States, where we can still see the favourable effect of the combination of two variables, the historically low inventory levels and a strong vehicle demand driven by the economic stimuli that exist in the country. On the other hand, we have Mexico, which shrank by 12%, with a comparable 2020 base that was more demanding because of the later onset of the shutdown of activities and with a completely different context to that of the United States. Here we're talking about a demand that does not have a relevant fiscal or economic stimuli and also faces the political uncertainty and the devaluation of the Mexican peso. In this scenario, CIE, with the support of its strong position, continues its penetration in the North American market, especially in the Mexican market, with an outperformance of 6 points. This good development in activity, combined with operating improvements, mean that margins have also expanded in this market and have gone back to 22% EBITDA margin. The Chinese market continues with a recovery in a UV curve, which is especially visible in this Q1 with a very low 2020 comparison base, a market that has grown 77% in the quarter. But beyond that, what stands out is the fact that these production levels are very close to the levels of the first quarter of 2019, close to 6 million vehicles produced. In a context where not even the coming into force of China 6 in January 2021 has dragged down the industry. And we find reasons for this excellent evolution, among other things, in the handling of the pandemic, good economic prospects for the country, driven by the general economic incentives, the direct incentives to the automotive sector, and we should remember that the subsidy program for electric vehicles has been extended and will be in force at least until 2022. Also in China, a strong drive is expected from electric vehicles because of the existing variety in supply and the growing demand for private vehicles. As in the case of Europe and North America, CIE has expanded its margins also in China and has reached 17.3% in the quarter, closer to the consolidated margins for the group. India, without a doubt, one of the great positive surprises in the first quarter. It has grown at double the rate expected just over a month ago, closing the quarter with a growth of 23%. There have been positive factors such as the strong rural demand, the low inventory levels, or the preference for private transport versus public transport, among others. And we have seen a continuation of the strength of the fourth quarter during this first quarter. As we've seen in China, the production levels are very close to the levels of the first quarter of 2019, in this case with more than 1 million vehicles produced in the quarter. In India, we have exceeded the market growth by 17 points. Our solid business model and the position that we have mean that we are gaining a market share on a recurrent basis compared to smaller and less well-prepared competitors to cope with the peculiarities of this market, a trend which we expect to continue to prove in the coming months. Regarding margins, thanks to the leverage of additional volumes and the implementation of additional efficiency measures within the framework of the crisis in 2020, India continues its convergence towards the EBITDA margins of the rest of the CIE group, and this is shown in this first quarter with a strong expansion of more than 200 basis points to over 15%. Finally, we have Brazil, a market that closed the first quarter with a growth of 1%, with more than 500,000 vehicles produced. During this quarter, the economic activity in the country has been more favourable than expected, and this has been reflected in the automotive sector, whose productions and sales have been positively affected by the low inventory levels and the low interest rates. It's been many years in Brazil, many years showing our commitment to the country and our savoir-faire for our customers to obtain the strong position we have there today, a position that has resulted in an outperformance of 8 points in the first quarter in spite of the loss of sales to Ford, one of our main customers there, which are already being replaced and offset by increased sales to other OEMs that are picking up Ford's market share. Brazil is not an exception to the improvement in margins. We are already over 18% EBITDA margin in the quarter. We summarise all the regions. We have a global market that has grown 14% in the first quarter to more than 20 million vehicles. But as you know, in this first quarter, we are penalised by the fact that we have less exposure to China than the total market, which means that the growth of our market mix is 8% versus the 12% organic growth at CIE, an outperformance of 4 points that is spread out over practically all the geographic areas. In all of them, each in their context and with their own particular features, we feel this trend towards the concentration of suppliers. We feel that natural supplier selection that the pandemic has accelerated and which we expect to become even stronger in the coming quarters. But above all, more than on growth, we want to insist on the improvement in margins, an improvement that has been obtained without the total recovery of volume. Let's remember that production in the first quarter represent less than 90% of the production in the first quarter of 2019, an EBITDA that has grown 12% up to €157 million. An EBITDA margin of 18%, which is a record margin in the current perimeter and which is close to the historical record of CIE at 18.6% before the dilution caused by the acquisitions in 2019, a margin evolution that has taken place in all geographies where we're present and which is the result of three fundamental levers. One is external, The operating leverage resulting from the return to volume and two internal levers, the optimization of the traditional CIE perimeter margins, and the continuation of the improvement in margins in the 2019 acquisitions, which today continue to have potential to grow. The margins attained mean that we have also broken our net profit record for the quarter with more than 78 million euros, something that is especially outstanding, bearing in mind the significant negative impact of the exchange rate. Let's move on to the balance sheet and cash flow, which has been another of the main headlines in the quarter, with this generation of operating cash of more than 100 million euros, which has made it possible to close the financial debt at 1.594 billion euros, below the levels of a year ago of March 2020, and in line with the December debt levels. You will have been able to see that continuing with our commitment to deleverage this year, the cash flow in the first quarter merely includes recurrent and usual elements. The CapEx of 5.8% over sales, in line with approximately that 6% that we have said that can be expected for the year. A certain investment in working capital, which is usual in the first quarter of the year, and the payout of 30 million in interim dividend in 2021 as a continuation of our shareholder payout policy. And looking forward, without a doubt, there are some uncertainties that could affect the different markets in which we operate, such as the development of the pandemic or the supply of semiconductors, but we would like to put them in context since they do not mar the general picture of the recovery in the activity we're experiencing this year, 2021. With the current IHS forecast published in the month of April, a growth is estimated of 13% for Europe, with a strong growth in the second quarter and a slight fall in the second half of the year due to the fact that Europe recovered pre-COVID levels at the end of 2020. We expect North America growing more strongly, 20%, with the second quarter stronger, as occurs in Europe. But unlike Europe, in North America, we will also see a growth in the second half of the year, around 5%. Although North America was also during the second half of 2020 at pre-COVID levels, their low inventory levels explain this foreseeable improvement in production. China, a growth of 5% in 2021, a profile in the year that shows the extremely strong growth of the first quarter because of the low comparison base, and a decrease in the rest of the quarters due to the V-curve recovery of the Chinese market last year. India, the current forecast is more than 31% growth, significantly above what the market shrank in 2020, which was minus 23%. And this growth will be spread out over all the quarters, a market where the monitoring of the pandemic seems a key factor today. And finally, the Brazil market, where a rebound of 25% is expected, slightly lower than the 32% shrinkage suffered in 2020. The current IHS forecast for the global market represents a production growth of 11.9% for 2021, although we believe that it's likely that in future reviews these forecasts will be adjusted slightly downward. But in any case, with higher or lower growth in one quarter or another, our vision is still one of prudent optimism. Proof of this is the fact that today we've improved our 2021 guidance, an initial guidance that we launched in February, and which we believed was too cautious. The results of the first quarter, the general context of the sector, reaffirm the gradual recovery of the activity and make us more ambitious towards our commitments. In sales, we will beat the market by a medium-high digit figure. In margins, we will be above 17.5% of EBITDA over sales. Regarding operating cash generation, it will be around 65% of EBITDA, levels that are absolutely differential in the sector. And regarding net financial debt, the sum of all the above, greater volume with better margins, high EBITDA conversion rate to operating cash, will represent a major deleveraging that will put us at a range of between 2.3 and 2.4 times net financial debt over EBITDA at the end of the year. So we conclude. We conclude with the announcement of a Capital Markets Day for June 28th, an event during which we will discuss the challenges and opportunities we face, and we will share with all of you the conclusions of our strategic reflections. And now we move on to your questions. Thank you very much for your time as usual. Yes, the first question regarding the different performance or outperformance in Q1 by geographies. If you could give some colour to the drivers behind that. Hello, good afternoon, everyone. If I understood the question properly, in all the geographies where we're present, we've had a much better performance than the market, except in China. As we said, because last year COVID was concentrated in the first 3 months, and that is why the growth was 78%, if I remember correctly. We have to remember that in 2020, the Chinese market had a negative growth of 4%, and Thea grew 32%, and this year we've had a growth slightly less than the Chinese market. The justification is very straightforward. Last year, those that were successful were, let's say, more Western customers, and this first quarter, the more Chinese customers, Chinese brands have been more successful, and that's the reason for this little gap. Last year, we were 38 points above the market, and this year, we're a little bit worse off. But this slight negative gap will be corrected in the second quarter. I think we've said it very often, and we also said it before. It was discussed at the shareholders' meeting this morning. The context of market outperformance has that side where we see a natural selection of suppliers that the pandemic has sped up. We were already seeing this concentration of suppliers. It was a trend that was already on the market in recent years, and the pandemic, as I said, has accelerated this. This is one of the main drivers for this outperformance you're seeing, and which you're going to continue to see. Connected to this, regarding the outperformance in the future, the first question is, why is there an outperformance now and there wasn't before for 2021, bearing in mind the less current visibility? Well, I don't think there's less visibility. I think that in the month of February, we were all very afraid of the third wave. We were afraid of the semiconductor issue. We still have the semiconductor problem, but it's true that with the vaccine, we're seeing an significant improvement in the second quarter, and that's why we've given the new guidance that is much better than the previous one, because we have absolute certainty that we're going to attain it. To complete the subject of outperformance, there are two more questions. Countries where you see greater possibilities of outperformance, and whether that outperformance refers to the global market or the CIE mix. It refers to the global market, and obviously in all regions where we're present. As we've been doing in recent years, we believe that we're going to continue to grow more than the market. A question related to margins. First of all, the more short-term margins. Why shouldn't margins be better in the coming quarters, around 18%, if a greater activity is expected in those quarters in 2021? Because we're being cautious again. And although we're at 18% currently, since it's a commitment and we'd like to meet our commitments, to be cautious, we've given 17.5%. And thinking more about the long term, areas with greater margin potential, and especially how do you see China in that context? Well, I think everybody has seen that for us, the margin is the EBIT margin. If we look at the consolidated EBIT margin for the group in the first quarter, it's been 13.3%. And if we look at the performance in each geographic area, North America was at 17, China was over the consolidated group figure at 14.3, like Brazil, and Europe and India, let's say, are the ones at 11%. So regarding your question on China, China has already reached the average we've reached for the rest of the group. How do you see developments in India with COVID? Is there any risk for the guidance because of this, or the plus 31% expected for the market in India? Well, I think you've all seen the first quarter where COVID was also present, obviously, and the market has grown 22% and we've grown over 40%. Today, with all the news we're hearing about COVID, but it's true that our customers are asking us to produce. We're seeing a significant growth still in India this year, and obviously in coming years. So the pandemic could have an effect and some outages, a couple of weeks in some places, but globally we're going to continue this year with this growth we've shown in the first quarter. And to complete the subject of India and the pandemic, it's true that you'll be reading there are some lockdowns in certain states. The automotive sector is currently considered an essential sector and a continuous process, and therefore it's still open. It's true that there's absenteeism at some plants, but we are still being able to manage it for the time being. The situation is affecting different states very differently, but our customers, as Jesus Mari said, are still open. And during the previous wave, they caught their fingers caught. They think that the demand after this wave could have a strong rebound and we need to be ready. Therefore, they continue to ask us for production. But I think there are a lot of positive factors in the Indian market, such as the low inventories. They have fairly low inventories, low interest rates, accumulated savings. There's an additional demand for private transport. At the end of 20 and in 21, we expect new vehicle models to be launched. Rural demand is still very strong. You know, that's an extremely important part of the demand, almost half of the total demand in that country. So I think that the context in general is good. If to that we add that in the context of the annual budget, an infrastructure plan was deployed that was very strong, and the announcement of direct incentives for the automotive sector with reductions in tax rates for purchasing, etc., etc., the general context, apart from the current situation, seems really positive. So India will be strong the rest of the year and in the future. Going to other regions, the case of Europe, for example, any more specific news regarding the overcapacity in relation to other markets, perhaps? Overcapacity. We know that our sector, unfortunately, has an almost structural overcapacity. The European market, I think that we have to talk about the vaccine, as Jesus Mari said. We have to talk about the CO2 legislation, which is a bit more demanding this year than last year. It's true that that's our context. But we also have important issues such as government incentives that have been extended. Many incentives were launched at the beginning of the year in important markets like Germany that has extended them until 2025, France until 2022, Italy has extended them throughout this year, Spain has launched a new plan. So we have a sectoral context that is in good shape. If we talk about inventories as a scenario for that future production, well, the historical average for Europe is around 60-odd days inventory. And at the closing of the first quarter, the inventories are a little bit below than they were at the closing of 2020. They ended 20 at 65 days, and we're currently at 60 days inventory. So that's a very good starting point for a quarter. even though it could be a little bit more complicated. But it's a good general context, a good general scenario for Europe, where the concentration of suppliers and that natural selection effect I mentioned, I think it's one of the markets where we're seeing it most, especially in France and in Germany. Yes, and in that sense, obviously, we're winners in the concentration with few players because of our experience in the integration of companies that you all know about. Regarding the specific issue and linked to the semiconductor issue, can we quantify the impact on ROTE and the overall impact for the year? I think that we've all read too much about semiconductors because it's in the press everywhere. And if we actually assess the IHS forecast, what the drop is going to be for the year in semiconductors of estimated production of 85 million, the estimate is currently at 84 or 83.7, more or less. So we're talking about a million and some possible fewer cars because of the semiconductors. 1 million fewer cars in 84 million cars. Tell me if that's a problem. Although IHS has given figures and we've seen other figures, I go beyond that quantification. I've been reading in the press this year, where we all get a lot of information, the top world producer of semiconductors together with Samsung, TSMC, said that on Monday that by June they expect to have available the necessary critical supply for the automotive sector to work. Last year, Infineon published results, the European producer of semiconductors, the most important one, and they said that they expected some effect, of course, in the second quarter, perhaps a little more than we've seen in the first. But after the second quarter, they agree with TSMC in saying that things will gradually go back to normal. And also bear in mind something else. Not all geographies are affected in the same way, or neither are all the OEMs affected in the same way. So our diversification helps us once again. We've seen that they each have a strategy. We've seen Ford assemble as far as they can. We've seen GM sell models without some non-critical chips. We've seen PSA with the substitution of chips with analog systems for the speedometers, and then they've replaced them. So everyone is reacting in the best possible way. And we hope that this will also help in the long term to stabilize a significant part of the production chain. So more than a junctural problem, we believe it's a demand that's not going to disappear. It's a demand that's going to move from one quarter to the next or from one year to the next. So let's not just look at the next quarter, and let's not be negative about what we're seeing for the sector. Yes, and as Lorea says, it's true that the semiconductor issue in the second quarter is going to hit North America most because they have the lowest stocks. In the second quarter, you can imagine recovering that lower level of stocks. We're asked about the CIE utilization ratios and specifically where we have any plants shut down in India. Utilized capacity. Well, you know that we have 112 companies, so capacity is a mix of all of them. But we can say more or less that the CI capacity is currently at 80-85%. And we have between 15-20% available capacity, and there are some regions like North America where they're up to 90%, the areas where we've grown most in recent years. And in India, no, we haven't shut down any plants. We're still working full out, and our main customer, Mahindra, is growing very much in the market at this point. Do you see that the aggressive price scenario has varied significantly compared to what you're seeing now? Well, those of us that have been in this sector for 30 years, we can say that price pressure has always been the same. It's true that when our customers lose money, they tighten the screws a little bit more, but there's a limit to how much you can tighten. If they want to keep their suppliers, prices have to be fair, they have to be decent, they have to be prices that enable suppliers to continue to invest, to help, and to be close to the customers. So there's nothing new. It's true there are times of tension, but as you can see in the margins, it's clear that it has had no effect on us. Potential for the new perimeter. In other words, have we completed the improvements of the new perimeter? Is there more potential compared to the previous perimeter? Well, you've always heard me say that my dream is to reach 20% EBITDA. It's a dream. It's a dream. Because that would mean reaching excellence. When we talk about 18% in the first quarter EBITDA, it's because there are a number of geographic areas that are above that and others that are still below that. For example, India, that's going to grow a lot and it's still at 15%. When India gets up to 18 or 20%, the total for the group will continue to grow. So there's always margin, there's always ambition. And in our model of ambition and management, we include that goal of reaching that level. Improvements are almost infinite. But we've set it at that 20% as our dream. But yes, we have the capacity to grow as we've grown 200 basis points since 2019. And that including the pandemic. And obviously, we've used the pandemic to improve, as occurs in every crisis. In relation to margins, do we expect an inflation in raw materials during the second half of the year and an impact on margin? Well, obviously, there's an increase in raw material. That's obvious. But I think that we have the skill to pass those increases on to the customer. So the impact on margin is really very small. Could we say something about the order of magnitude of the electric vehicle and CIE sales and main opportunities for the electric vehicle, aluminium, plastic? How do we see that front? Well, I think we mentioned it at the AGM. We were among the first to start with the biggest electric car supplier with various components. We started with the stamping technology, and today we're including components for the electric car in practically all our technologies, machining, aluminium, plastic, etc., etc. So, as I said earlier, our market share in the electric car is a little bit higher than in the combustion engine car. Regarding capital allocation, buyback of sales, shares, M&A, others, Mahindra, CIE, do we have any preferences? Well, you know that day by day we analyze whatever comes up, an opportunity that will generate value. But at this time, we feel that it's not the time for M&A. There's a lot of installed capacity. That installed capacity is providing low profitabilities for some, and it would be better for them to shut them down and be less competition for us. We've bought Mahindra Sia because the price was very low, and that was an opportunity, and whenever there's an opportunity, we'll do it. We've bought shares to reduce capital 5%. Because the value of the CIE share was ridiculous, and you know that 70% of the shareholders sit on the board, and obviously they are all fully committed to our company. So if we went back to extremely low prices, although they're low now, at this company there are still buyers, but the focus now is to generate cash flow and reduce debt. That's the focus. And I think that in this year, on the next 2 years, with the major cash generation We've generated 105 million in operating cash in the first quarter. If we extend that to the whole year, and if we generate that much over a couple of years, we'll be at debt-EBITDA rates that will be very healthy, and as usual, we'll be able to come back and eat up the market. Can you give us some visibility on the truck market, especially in Germany? Well, I'll explain. During the first quarter, the European truck market made up around 11%, which is more or less what's expected for the year. The German market was slightly better. You know that this is provisional data because we don't have the recurrent data. But remember the situation of the truck market. It reached a maximum level in 2018. It stayed there during 2019. A major double-digit drop was expected in 2020, and which was made worse by a coronavirus. It was the end of the cycle, and therefore the comparison base for this year is not very demanding. The estimated growth for this first quarter is explained by truck mileage in significant markets like Germany, and at times it's been higher than pre-COVID levels. And trucks are being renewed, and new trucks are being purchased. So this is quite positive for a good context in the recovery of the truck cycle. And it's helping improve margins at Mahindra CIE, as you've just seen. Well, it seems that there are no more questions. So I'd like to thank Jesús Madí for his presence here. Thank you all for your time this afternoon. And good luck with the results season. You know where we are if there are any questions you've forgotten to ask. Thank you all very much.